Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Chris Bowen. Chris is a principal technical evangelist for Microsoft and one of the nicest guys I have met. Well, I'm just going to stop there. One of the nicest guys I've met. How are you, Chris?
Thanks very much, Jesse. It's great to be back on the show. Thanks for having me.
So this is an exciting time. You know, they talk about may you live in interesting times. These are interesting times when it comes to the release of Windows 8, which maybe you can help us distinguish between RTM and availability and general availability.
Yeah, it's a lot of acronyms, a lot of dates and stuff like that being tossed out there. So hopefully listeners are hearing this pretty, you know, soon. Otherwise, these dates will be long in the past and irrelevant. But we have currently, just a couple days ago, released, went to RTM. So that means released to manufacturing. Our partners are working on getting ready for real, you know, final launch, general availability. It's GA, as you might hear it from other Microsoft folks. And we are looking toward October 26th for the big launch. So I and everyone on my team has been just really busy working to help developers get ready and to get things lined up and educate folks and getting the resources that everyone needs to to learn, because there's, you know, let's face it, it's a whole new operating system, a new way of developing some stuff. And we want to make that as easy as we can, because it's a huge opportunity. I'm so excited about it, because look at how big it is with Windows Store and how the platform is evolving to new form factors and new devices and all kinds of new scenarios. It's really exciting, and it's awesome to be part of it. I've been, as you know, been working with Windows 8 for quite some time now, and it's great that we're so close to launch. We're out there all the time now talking about it.
Which is great, because I know that for a long while there were some constraints on what you could say. But I want to just stick with the dates for 1 second. Between now and general availability, are there any milestone dates? For example, I understand that MSN subscribers might have an earlier date.
Yeah, that's right. If you go to probably the easiest thing, instead of mine just tossing out dates and things, the Windows Team blog has a lot of good details there. So does your Windows Store blog. And I think also the Building Windows blog. What we can do is, you know, I'll give you those links and we can post them as show notes. But they've detailed, there's a bunch of other milestones that are in there too. August 15th is one of those, and that's when MSDN subscribers can get access to the RTM bits. And you'll see there's other dates out there too, including, lest we not forget, Visual Studio. It's on its way as well, so Visual Studio 2012. So there's a launch event that's scheduled for September 12th, and that's an easy URL to remember. That's visualstudiolaunch.com. So that's there, and you can go find out more about that.
Great. Now, what's obviously on more and more developers' minds as this moves towards release is getting over that initial hurdle and beginning to learn how to program with Windows 8.
Yeah.
And I know that you've been working with the community for quite a while on this. Can you give us a sense of what Microsoft is offering right now in terms of making that a bit easier?
Yeah, I mean, that's really a lot of what my team is working on with the developer platform evangelism team, or DPE. And we're out there running events, working with community, and offering a lot of programs for developers, because, you know, like we've talked about before, there's a lot, you know, that a developer should understand as they're developing an application for Windows 8. So, you know, one of the things that's most immediate is we're working to be out there running our own events called Dev Camps. And actually, one of the easiest things you can do if you happen to be at your computer while you're listening to this. I know I listen to these in the car, so it's hard to pull up the laptop to look at links.
No, but don't do that in the car.
On my blog, I've got a lot of links there. One of them is to the Dev Camps and hackathons that we're running. These are all across the country and perhaps even the world. I'm not quite sure what the international schedule is. But if you go to it's devcamps.ms or to the msdnevents.com site, there's details there. But these are, they're two-day events, and they might be different by different areas. But for us on the East Coast here in the U.S., there's one day where we basically pack as much knowledge into you as we can in one day. And the second day is a hackathon, where it's your chance to put all that stuff into practice and just sit down and work on an idea that you might have, or an app that you want to get started on, or, you know, even just working through some training stuff that you have and you want to get some advice and guidance. Because you know, hearing about it's one thing, and kind of reading up on some stuff and looking at blog posts and all that is all well and good. But it really does take sitting down in front of the computer and working on the code to really get it. It won't click until you're actually trying to pull these things together. Maybe you run into this, you kind of understand the main things, but until you go and have Visual Studio blinking a cursor at you, you're trying to pull these things together. Really, that's when it all clicks, or at least it clicked for me doing a lot of that. And also these hackathons that we're doing, folks like us, but folks in the community that have really been working with Windows 8 as well, are there to help. And so we can really get through a lot of stuff. And it's, to be perfectly honest, it's great for me too, because I learn all kinds of stuff from doing these hackathons. You get questions from left field, and I can do some research, try to find out an answer, and then I know as well. So I really enjoy both the dev camps and the hackathons.
Well, you brought up a couple points I want to go back to. One is the difference between having a conceptual understanding and then sitting down at the computer and actually writing any code. And that was certainly a huge hurdle for me. I found that as I was reading the material or listening to folks describe, I would nod and understand, and it all made perfect sense. And then I'd sit in front of the computer and say, oh, okay, now what? And as I think I mentioned to you at one point, the breakthrough for me was to set aside the idea just temporarily of building a Windows 8 application. And instead, I said, let me just pretend I'm building a Windows Phone application or a Silverlight application, and then see how different it is. And it turned out that that, for me, was a breakthrough moment, because I could get very, very far, and the things that I didn't know or that were different were easy to look up and easy to find examples of how to modify. So using those, there's a slide in one of those presentations about you may already be a Windows 8 programmer, and I think there's a great deal of truth in that for at least for Silverlight WPF and WinPhone programmers on the XAML side. And tell me about on the JavaScript side. Is that experience the same for folks who are coming from JavaScript?
Yeah, to a large degree, it actually is. I'll just, basically reinforce what you just said on the XAML side. Folks that are already up to speed on the Windows Phone platform are already going to know a lot of the UX and design principles and stuff like that, and even some of the underlying concepts, like knowing how to save state and restore it. Some of the APIs might be different, some namespaces are shifted, sure, but that's what Visual Studio is for. I mean, you type in a class and have it help you find it for you. Yeah, I'm not trying to minimize it, but you've already got a great head start by taking the time to have learned a lot of that, with Windows Phone or whatever technology it was. And on the website, that's really my background too. I've been doing web development for a long time, and coming into this and through the process of hearing about where we were going with Windows 8, that was one of the things that made me really so happy. I was just excited to see that you have JavaScript, HTML, and CSS as a way to create apps that are, they're apps. It's an app, is an app, is an app. And they're all through the Windows Store, and you can get that in front of millions of users and just leverage all the stuff which is great. And as, I speak with people up here in the Northeast, especially in the Boston area, a lot of web devs, it's kind of a lot of that same story where we say a .NET developer is already a Windows 8 developer. A web developer, what are you going to learn? You have to learn a lot of the APIs. You learn how to work with an OS, sure. And you learn the design. You learn how to work as, the silhouette, and learn how to create tiles and notifications and all that. But really, those are the things that you can pick up by looking at other applications. There's all the design guidance out there, which we can talk about in a second too. But the fact is, you're working in JavaScript. You're working in CSS and HTML. And it really is the stuff you know. It's not like we've changed anything out. The only things that you use from Windows are all through this WinJS or Windows JavaScript API that we have. And it's really, as you need to use something in Windows, you go through that API. If you want to use some other things that you've used for making your UIs and your logic in your applications from the website, go ahead and use it. It's great.
The second thing that I wanted to come back to was at these presentations, one of the things that I was particularly happy to see at these presentations is that many, many of the demos are right out of the sample applications that Microsoft provides. And that was particularly useful because it lowered the barrier of using those sample applications to figure out how things work. And I have to commend, I really do have to commend whoever put together the sample applications, because typically sample applications are an example of, let me show you what a cool programmer I am. And these are much more straightforward. They're, here's the thing you want to learn how to use, and here's a dead simple example of using it. And I find them particularly helpful for learning Windows 8 programming.
Yeah, I can't recommend them any more highly than I do. I mean, it's just, I can't say enough about them. they really are right to the point. They're not trying to show you, hey, here's everything that you need to know about a Windows application all rolled into one huge sample. And then you find yourself kind of teasing it apart and trying to figure out, well, there's some complexity here, but that's not the complexity that I was looking for an answer for, you know, related to. I just want to know how to do this one thing. And so the team's done a great job of just factoring that down to the simplest terms and saying, you know, here's, you know, there's a basic structure that each SDK sample has. You get the splash screen, you have a typical UI for each where you can choose a few scenarios and run them. And they're focused just on that. It's not trying to show you, you know, a whole lot of stuff at once. Now we do have some samples for that too. Part of the camp in a box, which is also on my blog too. It's one of my later posts, my more recent posts. Camp in a box is really folded up all that content from the dev camps that we're running, some hands-on labs and some sample apps too, including Contoso cookbook. And that one is a larger sample, and it tries to show you more of the things pulled together into one context. So you can kind of see it all working at once. You can get secondary tiles and notifications, and you can see how it works with settings and all these other features of Windows that you can bring in, and using things like capabilities to declare that you want to use a webcam, record some video, and things like that. That is all in one sample, but you're absolutely right. And I love the samples themselves as being right to the point. You know, it's not even a cup of coffee worth to get through. You just kind of get into it, say, oh, that's what I want, understand it, and move on. The easy thing people don't always realize is you can download this all at once. There's a big, you know, a zip file for them. But one thing I love to do is in Visual Studio, just right in 2012, in the File New Project dialog, on the left-hand side at the bottom, you'll see there's an online node now. If you click on that, you'll see there's templates and samples. Samples are the samples from this same package. So whether you go to it through the website or through Visual Studio, the nice thing about Visual Studio is you can search right in that search dialog, the search box in the dialog. So I do that all the time. I'm looking for an example on contracts, on sharing or whatever. It'll show me all the samples in multiple languages, and I can just install it from there and run it.
Great. Is that in the RC or just in the RTM?
That's been in there for a while, actually. So
shows you what I notice. Okay.
it's kind of hidden, actually, and that's why I wanted to mention it, because you have to actually scroll down on the left-hand side when you're saying File New Project, and you'll see the online node, which might actually be hidden away if you've got a lot of things that are already installed. It might be pushed down below the fold.
Mm-hmm.
So just remember that, because that's the way I do a lot of how I work.
Absolutely. Now, you used a couple terms. I want to go back. One I didn't quite catch, and so I know I'm going to mispronounce it. You said something about Noet. Does that ring any bells?
I actually don't know what I just said.
Okay. This was back when you were talking about the HTML programming. But the second one you talked about was Silhouette. And maybe you could talk for a minute
sure.
About that.
Yeah. So Silhouette's the concept that there's a consistency of the applications that a user will encounter. And it's really just focused on helping the user to understand an application quickly, which is behind a lot of the design guidance that you'll see in Windows. In particular, Silhouette is really saying, here's kind of a way to structure your applications in a way to design the layout in a way that'll be instantly familiar. And, you know, here's, you know, the header or back button. Here's some offsets and a full description of it. You know, it gets down to some details around how you space content and stuff like that. But while it's good to understand that, a lot of that knowledge is already built into the controls and into the templates that you can use. So you don't have to memorize that, you know, how many units apart these things are and stuff like that. If you use a grid, you know, a grid control, you know, a grid view or a list view or things like that, a lot of that design knowledge or, you know, consistency is built in there for you. But you'll see that if you look at multiple applications in Windows 8, you'll see there's a kind of a familiarity amongst them. That said, it's not like you have to be totally, it's not about being conformant. It's about giving you a structure that's going to be familiar to a user to keep them happy and easily able to understand your app. But you're still able to, of course, put all your branding and all of your innovation into making the app your own. But that's one of the key concepts behind, you know, from user experience, that is important to know.
Okay, so I got a great email the other day that said, I want to program Windows 8. How do I start?
Sure.
Maybe we could talk a little bit about what resources are available out there, especially from Microsoft.
One of the best things we've got now is something called 32 Launch. And this is a fairly new program. It just went up a little while ago. And you can sign up. It takes, you know, a short time. It's very, very quick. But the idea is you can sign up with this and you'll get online resources. And you can choose if you want daily notes with tips and training and guidance. You can do that. You can do weekly or whatever. There's some variety there. But the essence is it's 30 days of guidance to help you get from idea to app quickly. And so there's not just training and tips and kind of guidance around all these things we've already been talking about, UX perspective and implementation and all that kind of stuff. There's also some other things that are plugged in too as well. So getting some support from a Windows 8 architect, getting some one-on-one design consultation as well. So these are kind of parts of the process. As you work your way through this 30 to launch program, you'll get access to these things. So probably the most important one of these all is the end or near the end of the program. We have something that's called the Application Excellence Lab. And these have been running for several months now. And the idea really is we want to help developers understand what makes a good Windows 8 app. And we wanted to sit down with developers, either literally or virtually over, a virtual connection, and just review what your app is and where you're going with it, and give you some feedback based on certification requirements, based on, design guidance and things like that. So you'll understand where you are in terms of, having what will be a great, and potentially very successful Windows 8 application. So these Application Excellence Labs are part of that 30 to launch program. So what they really are is a couple hours of time with a premier field engineer, and they'll review. There's a survey actually as well. And by the way, this sounds like a ton of details that I'm throwing out there. I actually just blogged it. So it's actually on my blog right now. If people go and look there, one of my latest posts about, top 10 secrets of success there. And you can find that there. There's basically a description of the 30 to launch plus these labs. And that's really one of the more important things that you can do as a developer now. If you recognize the opportunity of, millions of Windows users that are out there today, and then how many of those, as they shift into Windows 8, being in that that Windows store is going to be a huge opportunity. And so there's a chance now, if you are, like we're saying, 30 to launch, we work with these programs now, you'll be ready. You can have an application ready for launch and be in a relatively, smaller pool of applications than there are going to be, say, 6 months or a year from now, when you're going to be one of many more applications. And so that's really what these programs are about. We want everyone to have the best chances of success. So we're going to work through a survey, which is really just kind of making it easier to understand all of the other documentation and guidance around making a great app. And at the end of that, you come out of it with some great guidance and some feedback on things that you could do to have an awesome app. That's really what it boils down to.
In some ways, it can't be overstated, because the opportunity to go back to the very beginning of the App Store for Apple phone and for the iPad would be an extraordinary opportunity. And yet their audience potential is measured in numbers that are so much smaller than the audience potential for Windows 8. I mean, if in fact a hefty percentage of Windows 7 owners switch over to Windows 8, and that store is going to appear right on their start screen, that's, in many ways, I mean, it's hard to overstate it. That's an unprecedented opportunity.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about. However many, numbers you think is really going to happen, whatever, you can't really deny that it's going to be huge. And it's definitely worth, getting an app out there early, because the apps will be coming. And the users, like you said, the Windows Store is right there in Windows 8. You launch it, you search for, utilities or tools or games. And if yours are in there early, you can start building up momentum and getting some reviews and getting some, positive feedback there. If you've gone through these labs and the 30 to launch program, you're going to have a great app, and people can review that app and rate you highly. And that's really going to help you build up that steam to move forward and really be successful.
Well, I can tell you that at Telerik, we're definitely motivated to be very early to market with our controls for Windows 8, because there is that sense that there's this urgency of the early days and of folks who want to build great apps and get them into the market in the early times when the market isn't flooded yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that if we're feeling that at Telerik, I'm sure that at Microsoft there's a even stronger sense. And I know that Microsoft has done a lot of work about getting particularly popular and extremely well done apps into the store for the launch itself. I don't know that that's something that you can talk about very much, but I know that some vendors are certainly working on getting those early apps out there.
Basically, it boils down to, our team is really just trying to help people be successful, because, like I said, the opportunity is huge, and October 26th is approaching, and at that point, people are really going to start adding, thousands and thousands of apps into the Windows Store. So your chance with these Application Excellence Labs and the 30 to launch program and all of that to get in there and be ready when, the eyes of the Windows community turns to Windows 8, I mean, I really just can't overstate that.
Okay, let me change directions on you for a bit, because I'm a little afraid of turning this into a commercial for Windows 8.
Yeah, sure. Nope.
And ask you about your experience in these hackathons. Your focus has been mostly on the JavaScript side, and yet you must be getting a lot of questions on the XAML side. So can you talk a little bit about what that's like when you feel really comfortable in Windows 8 programming on the JavaScript side? Does the XAML side begin to make sense, or is it really a different world?
Yeah, I think a lot of it carries over. I mean, basically, you're looking at the APIs, you're looking at the features. A lot of learning Windows 8 is about learning what makes an app work in Windows 8. What are the things that you can leverage? What are the charms? What does that mean? How do I do settings? And I'm used to putting a dialogue in my own application that deals with settings. Does that, you know, what do I do now? And, you know, knowing about the settings, you know, charm and the contracts there, that carries over. And of course, it doesn't matter what you're writing your application in. The APIs are the APIs, and really working with the Windows 8 itself, that doesn't change. But to your question around the language side of things, or the implementation of these things, you know, half of it is learning what's available to you and how you can effectively design an app. And the other half is learning the APIs themselves, what namespaces there are. And I think one thing that helps a lot is something called, this is very, very geeky, but something called language projections. So we have this really as a something that's layered on top of what we've done with WinRT. So the actual APIs themselves, they've done a lot of work to really create, I guess, language specific, there's not another word for it, but projections that will make it more comfortable for working with WinRT in whatever language you've chosen, whether it is C# or VB, C++, and JavaScript. The APIs will be exposed to you in a way that's comfortable from that environment, that language. So whether it's, you know, simple as naming, or like the casing of things, to other things such as, and I think, of course, you run into this too, is API differences. So there might be some classes that are a little bit different, some interfaces that are new in Windows 8 that relate to how we used to do things, you know, or we do things in .NET. And so you might be used to one, and then these projections can actually just make that translation for you, and you really don't have to know about that. I mean, it's good to know about it, but you don't have to write code about that. You can keep using what you know. There are some extension methods as well. For example, like some things in WinRT will return one data type that you might not be used to working with, and you want that as a stream. So you can use an extension method to get a stream out of that, and then just use the same code that you've been coding all along.
Part of the presentation that I did in Cincinnati talked about the extension methods, and the best I could find from my research was that you needed that in streams and you needed that in buffers. But there weren't any other places that I was able to discover where you needed to use an extension method. Most of it was hidden from you in the language projection.
Yeah, there's not many places where you need those extension methods. A lot of them are in just automatic bindings where you can say, I'm going to use, you know, IEnumerable and just keep using the code that I know how to write. And that's one of the examples of the projections, just making it easy for you, whatever language you've chosen.
So now I'm a developer and I've looked at 30 days to launch and I'm ready to really dig in. What are the other places I should be looking at for resources for learning?
Yeah, at the risk of sounding like an ad for my own blog too, but it's that same post that I was just talking about. I've got the, you know, links to the Developer Center, which I'm pretty sure you can't get very far without finding that. It's devwindows.com, and that'll bring you to those samples that we were talking about. The other site that I really recommend folks look at is design.windows.com, really because, like we were talking about before, it's not just knowing the APIs, it's knowing what makes a good app for Windows 8. How can you style it? How can you, what are some guidance around using these features? Like, you know, how do I use search effectively? Can I put my own search in my app? Or how do I customize the search from the charms flying out from the side there? That guidance is all on that design site. So you can open that up. You'll see more about what we were talking about before with silhouettes and things like that. There's other sites as well, like the certification requirements. These are all links that I've got for you. You'll find those just by going through those two main sites, the dev and the design.windows.com. They'll get you to all that stuff that you'll need.
Chris, when you're giving these courses, I know that you're talking to some folks who are coming from the JavaScript world and some folks who are coming from the XAML world. Are you seeing a lot of interest out of folks who are C++ programmers?
Yeah, it's a good question. They've traditionally been a smaller, you know, percentage of the audiences. And so, you know, from our perspective, it can be tough to make, you know, the one size fits all kinds of of training programs. So we do our best, but I think the easiest thing to do is to realize, you know, a lot of things we're talking about carry over regardless of what language. We've already been over that. Take the time, because it does take, you know, being in front of the computer to really understand and start working on understanding what all these things mean and the concepts. Now, the code is another thing entirely, right? So I really give, you know, a lot of recognition to the team for putting out really great resources in the past several months for C++ developers. There's been just a ton of stuff that's been released, whether it's the samples we've already talked about, they're already right there. So you can find those. Do online things like Channel 9 has a lot of stuff now for C++ developers, for native developers, and that'll help carry that, you know, segment of the developer audience forward. But, you know, we really only have one day with people for these dev camps, so it's hard to give samples in every single possible language. So we try to mix it up where we can. We try to show, you know, XAML, JavaScript, and intersperse that. And there's a C++ sample in there or two, by the way. But again, we wish we had a whole week with everybody, but we're thankful to have at least a day. So that's that really is the kind of the best we can do, and then kind of give people access to the camp in a box and to go get the samples and to look online for all of the other things that can help them, including the 30 to launch from a C++ perspective to get them into the store.
I know Microsoft's guidance is to go with what you know. And if you're already a XAML programmer, go with that. If you're already a JavaScript programmer, go with that. And the assumption is that you're one or the other, which I suppose in the early days of Windows 8 makes a lot of sense, but certainly there are going to be people who are coming to this without experience in either one. And is there a way for them to decide which way to jump?
That's a tough question to answer. But I would say actually one thing to keep in mind is you don't have to, in all cases, choose one or the other. There's a concept of creating what are called WinMD components. Windows metadata is the format. But it's the concept of being able to write a component in, you know, perhaps one language, perhaps let's call it C#, and expose that as really a WinRT-friendly component, let's just call it that for argument's sake, and then use that from a Windows application, a Windows 8 application, say a JavaScript application. So if you have a team that has different skill sets, or you're working with another group that maybe has a web background and or wants to create that application using JavaScript and CSS and all that kind of, you know, all the features that that provides, great, do it. Have some of the component logic from C# or C++. We see that with a lot of games, a lot of graphic-oriented applications, putting a lot of effects into C++ and leveraging that from another language as well as a component-based approach. Now, answering the other question, the larger question was, you know, what do you choose? Well, I mean, you know, I think you know the answer. Really, it is going to depend on where you think you're going with what you're building. The likelihood that you might, you know, the ability to ramp up on one or the other. If you have some experience in something, you're going to be working as part of a team that already has, some components or learnings in one of, you know, in whatever language it might be. The other thing to keep in mind though is, obviously .NET and C# and VB can be used in a lot of scenarios. So can JavaScript. I think it's an important thing to mention. If you are a web developer and you're coming to Windows 8 and you're writing a Windows 8 application, you, with some careful thought, you can create JavaScript and, to a degree, some CSS that could be reused in terms of, you know, maybe a web-based application, not specific to Windows. It's really just a matter of applying the right design principles and you know, design patterns to how you're writing your code. Really, the stuff that you're using that's Windows 8 specific, factor that out and say, well, these are things that are specific to that implementation. But I could reuse a number of things that are my logic and take that from an existing web application or make that into a web application too. It really depends. And, you know, I've been through this myself as a web developer for many, many years. I've done this for Windows 8 applications. I've taken the web app, I've brought it into Windows, and really what you change up is calling into the specific WinJS stuff, which will get you into WinRT, and then also using the base CSS classes that are part of WinJS as well. So you get a lot of the styling, you get a lot of the controls and that stuff that you can leverage as a Windows 8 app. But the stuff that you've taken the time to create as a web app, much of that still applies. And the open source libraries, third-party libraries, your, you know, whatever else you've done, that absolutely carries into your experience creating Windows apps as well. Much like we were talking about before, your experience as a Windows phone developer, as a WPF developer, as a Silverlight developer carries in from that vector as well.